Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, it is the death lineup. The day after the beginning of the NBA season for the Warriors. And we're going to talk about the Warriors. We'll talk about Kuminga and Moody. It feels like we've been talking about them from day one of this podcast. We'll also talk about the WNBA Finals, kind of what should be on your radar from the Valkyries' perspective. And then we'll end with a little bit of Bronny and Braun. I'm very interested in what people think about how the Lakers kind of put that thing together on opening night. Lakers, who do they play? Minnesota?
Yeah, Minnesota.
Okay, so let's kick it off, and we'll start with our main talking points for covering the Warriors. So I think we have to lead, even before discussing last night's game, before the season started, they had to make some decisions on Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga. Now, Moody signed I don't know if I was necessarily surprised, but he didn't, you know, he didn't bet on himself, right? That's what the guys talk about. He took the Warriors' offer. It gave him a cushion of 3 years, and he's going to be with the team. And you know, he's also if he becomes trade worthy, or if he becomes a piece that other teams want, you know, there's a possibility they could trade him. And Jonathan Kuminga was the other way. He and the Warriors did not agree on an extension, and Jonathan heads into next season as a restricted free agent. And we heard some of the numbers that were floated around about Kuminga and if he the extension that he wanted, and not surprised that the Warriors did not go for that. But were you surprised to see the Warriors and Kuminga just kind of go, well, we'll do this again next year?
Not totally. The number that he wanted is probably around what like Cade, Scotty, Mobley, mm-hmm. like the top of this class, Franz. Like, he's not there, and at least it just doesn't feel like it. But I can imagine him wanting that because he had like good numbers last year, like on paper. But from all of our perspectives as fans, like I don't, when I rank that draft class personally, he's not in my top five, and mm-hmm. trying to keep bias out of it, he's probably not in my top five. So I get it from both sides. The Warriors, I mean, you always just worry with restricted free agency. If he does put pen to the paper somewhere else and the Warriors do match it, like the last example we have of that is DeAndre Ayton, and that went to like, they went terribly. He is now mm-hmm. on a different team because of it. So I don't think the Warriors have as bad of front office management as, say, the Suns do, I guess. I feel like, you know, organizationally speaking, like we've had a good track record, but decent. But I don't think it's going to get that bad with JK. The Moody one, that one made sense. So what is like 13 average annual value, 13 million?
Yeah, I think Tim Kawakami today on his podcast with Marcus Thompson, the not plus minus, he said that it's really about 3 for 37, and then there, I guess there's a couple million involved there that he could make if he hit some of his bonuses.
Yeah, I mean, we know the story with Moses from doing this podcast since he was a rookie. It's just a, like, can we see him in a consistent position in our rotation? And that, even I think, I'm sure we'll get into that, but that's still to be seen.
So I guess the scenario, and if you're Jonathan Kuminga, what you're hoping is that you get the opportunity, like those other guys who you mentioned, who he's probably comparing himself to, you get the opportunity to show out. And night one, it seems like they finagled their entire lineup to make that happen. They go really big, and Kuminga's at the three, Wiggins at the two, Draymond and Trace are playing together with Steph. That wasn't necessarily the breakout Kuminga game for him. I thought he was, it's hard to say who's the worst player on the floor. For the Warriors, I said the least impressive player was Kuminga. He offensive fouls and missing layups, and I think he missed his two threes. And what we saw in the preseason was just the catch and shoot was there, and he went back to hesitating ever so slightly yesterday. But yeah, not the best start for him. And you hope that he doesn't press, because he's saying all the right things. Oh, the contract, it's the least on my mind. This is absolutely not the least thing on his mind. It's probably at the forefront. It's a priority. It should be a priority for him. He is this is his career, one in which he hopes to make a lot of money from his value. So did you sense anything in his game that made you wonder about, maybe what 2024, 25 is going to look like for JK?
I think that was kind of lineup sabotage. I don't think that this lineup is going to work. And just fundamentally, like looking at it on paper, when they tried it in the preseason against the Lakers, when everyone was still playing, and then this time as well, it just feels like what I've seen. And I don't know what they're going to do to change it. If Kerr's on record saying that he wants this to be the starting lineup, I also think he kind of is saying that to say, like, look, I tried, and knowing himself, this might not work. But it's essentially, a lot of guys who can't shoot with Stephen Curry. And if Steph's not going to be, versus Serbia versus France, Steph, start the game, then this is going to be a tough lineup to watch. And he did get to that point, like the third quarter or something, second or third quarter, where he is firing on all cylinders and everything starts to work. But it kind of takes him to go off, because again, there's just, I was watching some of the possessions with this. I specifically made sure to look for this, where someone other than Steph, or even Steph, puts the ball on the floor and starts driving, and you have three defenders shrink in to guard that player. Mm-hmm. Because they don't trust anyone from the perimeter to do anything. That's impossible. How do you expect to get a bucket? We should pull up the play-by-play, because how long did it take for them to have a field goal made? Because they had some free throws, but it took, I don't even know if they got one in the first.
It was like half of the first quarter, I think.
I don't even know. I can't even remember which bucket it was that they got in that lineup. But yeah, it's just, I like with Kuminga.
It's a Draymond layup, I think.
And that might have been when Buddy Hield was subbed in. That might have not even been the lineup. I don't even know. But I think with Kuminga, it's difficult, because that's the lineup that kind of seems like how he stays in the starting lineup right now. But that's not a lineup that benefits his game at all.
But he doesn't want to play four, or at least he doesn't see himself as a four. And that would be the other way for him to get on the court, is if Draymond plays five and then he plays four. But it's almost like he doesn't see himself as that, because, again, it doesn't maximize his value to other teams. It maximizes his value if he's a wing defender, finisher three, than like a small ball four.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know what to tell him. I think in the Warriors system, he's a four, and I think that you could do Draymond at the five, just not high volume minutes. I think it's like a crunch time, like let's get a stop and a bucket type of lineup. But because we saw it last year, Draymond was playing extended five, and if that feels like it's too much on him, and there's a ceiling to it. So yeah, it could, like I could see like a play, because Wiggins was so good in game one. Like, how do you say Wiggins go to the bench and let Kuminga have your spot? And we, you know, we bring in Melton next to Steph, and then it's Steph, Melton, JK, or Wiggs, and then Draymond, TJD. It's like, you know, how do you tell, like, Wiggs looked awesome. And JK didn't. I literally just pulled up the player stats right now, and plus minus, Jonathan Kuminga is a team worst of 14 players that played in that game. I know some Gui Santos, Lindy Waters was garbage time, but JK was plus minus zero. Nothing. Nada. And where everyone was like, Pods was plus 34, you know, and Pods didn't score himself. But it's just, I could see where, you know, this lineup isn't benefiting him. It doesn't, you know, go towards his strengths as a basketball player yet. This is the lineup that, you know, he gets to stay in the starting lineup for. And it's just not, that's not going to last, is it? Like, what's the resolution here? What do you think? Do you think they figure it out with that starting unit?
When I watched that game yesterday, I thought, okay, he looks like a fish out of water. And it's mostly because I think the person they were really trying to get going was Wiggins. Like, Wiggins, we know he had the rough offseason, and he had the bad year last year. And so it was almost like, we need to get Wiggins engaged. And, you know, Steve Kerr has given him the green light to put up, what did he say, like 7 or 8 threes a game or whatever. That's what he wants. So Wiggins seemed like he was ready to shoot. He was ready to go. He was ready to attack. And then on the other side, Kuminga did not seem like that. He seemed a little tentative, and, you know, or over aggressive in some instances, and he was like jumping on people and getting fouls on himself. I wonder, now you probably can't do this because of Draymond, but I wonder if there should be more plays or just more fast breaks where he's the one bringing up the basketball, because we know he can attack. And we know that he's not gonna shake anybody out of their shoes, but he's got a good first step, and he's so strong that if you actually make him be the ball handler bringing the ball up, I think that gets the defense's attention a little bit more than when Draymond does it. Because when Draymond gets the ball, you know, they kind of sit because they know Draymond's looking for people. Draymond's not really a threat to score. But I wonder if JK gets a little bit more of that. They actually do have to press him, because if you give him just a sliver, he's going to go coast to coast and he's going to finish. So I would like to see some of that with him, because I just think when he is without the basketball, he seems to be not at his best. And he needs touches, I think. He needs touches not only around the perimeter, he needs touches on cuts. Like, you saw some really nice back cuts by them yesterday. TJD had some back cuts. Pajemski was kind of setting up back cuts. Kuminga didn't seem like he was in those positions or in those spots to do that, but he should be the perfect guy to do that, because actually, no, he did get one. He got one that I can remember, because, and the reason why I remembered is because he jumped so high that he didn't actually dunk it. He like just dropped it through the rim because he was so high in the air. But it's that kind of stuff where if you can get like the easy points like that and get him going from an energy standpoint, I think the rest of his game is going to just kind of fill out. But, you know, when they started the way that they did, and then it's like, okay, Steph is being guarded by three guys, so it's going to be Wiggins and Kuminga who are getting the ball outside the perimeter. Now you guys create and go. That's not either of their strong points. So I would like to see him get the ball a little bit more in space so that he can be a little bit more free and not have to, you know, not have to create from a position of whatever that play is, because he still doesn't seem fully comfortable running the plays like some of those other guys are.
Yeah. I mean, I think Kerr would just need to give him a little bit of like a leash per se, because I just think that he is very, you know, like single focused in terms of, like, I can imagine if he were to get, I already think his handle's a little suspect, but if he were to get the ball and push the, you know, start the fast break, I just feel like in his mind, it's like, you know, I'm either making a decision of score, pass, And once he makes, I think he makes that decision, you know, he's just going to be, I'm going to be getting my bucket because they're going to be pushed up all into him. Cause I think his handle's a little suspect. I think you could speed him up. I think you could speed up players and make them uncomfortable when they're trying to like start a fast break and then they make a dumb decision. I think with Draymond, that kind of used to be Draymond. I remember it would like, we would used to watch when he was like a lot, you know, younger and, mm-hmm. and it would be like, he would try to run the fast break and make a dumb play. I could see that being Kuminga, but I just feel like anytime I see him with the ball, he's looking to score instead of, I feel like scoring is always like on the front of his mind as opposed to like making the pass and to be the guy who starts the break. I don't know. I just want to see it.
Yeah. And we can't really learn much from that game because the Portland's just not good. I don't know. Utah's going to be a different challenge, I think, because and we may see a different starting lineup based off of that challenge. It seemed like yesterday's starting lineup was very much like, oh, Portland's not good, so we can actually test this thing that I'm kind of interested in getting results about, and so let's do it. Utah, they may feel the same way about Utah. I don't know that, but you know, nobody's as good as Markkanen on Portland. So, you know, they will have to worry about that. And, you know, they're just probably a better overall coach team as well. So I would expect the challenge to be bigger on Friday. But I wonder if they do change the starting lineup, depending on what Utah's throwing out there. All right. Last thing before we move on to talk about some Valkyries and WNBA. The second scorer conversation that we've been having for a while now, you know, I think essentially it was Clay last year. I think he was the second leading scorer on the team. JK was third, I think, but no Clay. And there's just a mix of new folks. There was D'Anthony Melton. There was Buddy Hield. Pajemski did not have a good... Pajemski and Kuminga were both super tentative for whatever reason. Pajemski maybe because of the mask and all that hindering him. But you had all these other players just kind of fit right in and flow into the offense. I'm guessing that has something to do with them just being veterans. Like Melton and Buddy Hield, it looked like they had been running Warriors offense for years and years and years. They like just fit in so perfectly. And then Kyle Anderson, much later in the game where he was kind of playing the Draymond spot. It's like, oh yeah, that's perfect for his game as well. But do you have a, like, who do you think is going to be the guy that they're going to be able to go to get a bucket when Steph gets face guarded and, you know, three people are attached to him?
I hope we got 2021 Wiggs. I just thought there was a lot from him last night that was to love. And am I confident in saying that? No, because, you know, after 2021 Wiggs, we had, or 2021, 2022 Wiggs, we had 2023 and 2024 Wiggs back to back, which is a player I hope I don't have to see that much again. Which again is just a little inconsistency in playing because of all the things surrounding him. And then, you know, he injuries, his father missing time, trying to get going again. And so I hope that this time around, he is more dependable. But if it's not Wiggs, like, I think it's like kind of two by committee. We saw what Buddy Hield was able to do in it, scoring wise. And, you know, JK, hopefully he'll hope for a better night and then he gets to his scoring average, hopefully a little higher. But yeah, if it's not Wiggs, then I don't know if I could, you know, pinpoint exactly who the two is going to be. I mean, it's probably supposed to be JK.
Mm-hmm. Because last night it was Buddy Hield.
Yeah.
But he also, you know, I think he was under 20 minutes. But when you watched him, he felt the responsibility, I guess, to be the one who was pulling the trigger. Like you sensed it from him. Like it was this weird thing too, because Steph sensed it from him and you saw Steph trying to get him the ball. Like there was a couple of fast breaks that Steph just threw long passes to get to him and they were kind of pointing at each other. I don't know if Wiggs is efficient enough. I think he's athletic enough to get, you know, to get some easy buckets. But then you saw that god awful hook that he threw up again, that right handed hook that, and you looked at it and you're like, nope, that's not going in. Well, okay, what hook did you like better? Did you like Wiggs's hook or did you like Pajemski's hook, sky hook from last year?
Would you have did Pajemski even make one? I forget if he even made one.
I think he made one that I can remember because I think everyone just cheered for him obnoxiously when he made it.
I don't know. This is comparing terrible to terrible.
Yeah, it's this ugliness. But you know, I think you make a good point with Wiggs. I think they would like it to be Kuminga because if it is Kuminga, then you sell him on the idea of, look, you may, you know, it's possible that you could be a number one scorer on another team. Where are you going to get that opportunity? Who is going to pay you to be that? Look at what happened to Jordan Poole in Washington. Or you ride Steph's coattails for the next 2 or 3 years. You be that efficient number two scorer. And that is how you make your money and you come back to us at a fair deal. And, you know, you're on one of the most popular teams in the NBA. I think that's what they would love to sell him, but he's just got to play better than he did yesterday. And I hope that's an anomaly. I hope that's not the JK that we see. I hope he gets a lot more comfortable. But if it's Buddy Hield, something probably went wrong because you want Buddy Hield to be the remix of there was a guy when I was a kid, his name was Vinny Johnson. They called him the microwave because when he came in, he would just chuck shots up and he would heat up. He needs to be like a new wave microwave. He needs to be the guy that when he comes in, you know, he's getting shots up. He's a better, a more efficient Lou Williams, right? Especially because he can hit the three. Like that's kind of what you want from Buddy. But I think I'm sure there will be moments when he plays crunch time and they actually do create opportunities for him to win ball games because of the fact that Steph is going to be so guarded and so closely.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's HIMS.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. HIMS.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Okay, let's talk a little bit of WNBA and some Valkyries.
Valley.
Home run.
Okay, so the WNBA finals happened. The game five was Sunday. There was a lot of conversation after the game about the referees. That game was a rock fight. There was not a lot of good shooting. There was not a lot of good scoring, which made it super interesting at the same time because it was sort of like a it reminded me of a Big East basketball game when I was a kid where you'd have these really low scoring, like defensive battles. Patrick Ewing would have been, you know, Patrick Ewing against Chris Mullin's team, like just these like hard fought battles. And that's kind of what that game reminded me of. So it was entertaining in that way. And it did a really good number. I think the popularity of the league, that they got what they wanted ratings wise and viewership wise. And but did you think the right team won?
Yes and no. Like, I do feel like in basketball, like, teams are due, and it's felt that way, you know, when Denver won their title, when Boston won their title, when the Bucks won their title. And this is mainly coming off of, you know, of course, like my NBA knowledge, because I'm a relatively new fan of the WNBA, but it really did feel like it was the New York Liberty's time to win. They got over their enemy, the Aces. You know, they were able to get over that hump. It felt like it was their time to win. And I will say, I didn't feel that great when mm-hmm. when they called that foul on Alanna Smith. I was trying to think of it, too, in the sense of, like, who should I be rooting for right now? And I started thinking about it, and I was like, well, the Minnesota Lynx are the, you know, they're the small market team, and they're also built, not bought, which I always love. You know, the Liberty were kind of a they were a, you know, super team. They got two MVP candidates from the, in the same not MVP candidates, two former MVPs in these, one that already won an MVP with them. The other one won a finals MVP with them. Both of those players came in the same offseason. They are a super team. A big market team, like everything about me should root against them with all my heart. But I then remember that the Minnesota Lynx are tied with the Houston Comets mm-hmm. in terms of most championships in the WNBA. And if I want my Valkyries to be the GOAT team of all time, I'd rather them not win another title. You know, the Lynx win another title. On top of that, Sabrina Ionescu, I think it's more likely that she comes to the Valkyries having won a title versus not won a title. So at the end of the day, I was rooting for the Liberty, but this came to me in like the fourth quarter. I was like, okay, I'm rooting for the Liberty here.
I was rooting especially for Sabrina, in the series, but then she started out so bad. I mean, she had a bad game.
She finished bad.
One of 19. Yeah, just overall, just a horrific shooting night.
Same with Breonna Stewart, was terrible in terms of just shooting percentage. That I was just saying, like, I thought they put up a disingenuous graphic where they were saying Ionescu and Stewart, and they kept putting that graphic up. Whereas, what was their combined shooting? And then they said, go rest of team. And I was like, this is silly.
Series.
Because Jonquel Jones should have had her own little thing and then rest of team. Like, if you're putting mm-hmm. lumping her in rest of team, that's just a little disingenuous. But oh well.
So Davis says, as much as the refs helped New York, the Lynx gave the game away on multiple possessions, took too much time looking for the right shots. I was listening to Zena and the Athletic WNBA or the Athletic Women's Basketball podcast, and they made the same point. Zena went down all of their possessions, like, I think to start overtime, and it was just like poor possession after poor possession, 24-second shot clock, turnover. So they did have opportunities to take control of the game, and they just didn't play well. But you know, that's the finals. The level of you know, nervous energy and feeling that whole thing on your shoulders, that's a tough game. And especially, you know, I looked at all of, you know, what's interesting about the WNBA is you look at the rosters and like the best players on all these rosters are like second year in the league, third year in the league. Like they don't, I know that is not every team, but you know, specifically like I was looking at the teams going like, wow, these teams are actually really young when it comes to experience. And you know, the Liberty kind of gained some experience last year in losing. So I thought that would actually give them a little bit of the edge, but Minnesota was right there. And, you know, Nafisa Collier was the best player on the court. I don't know if it's every game, but if not every game, the majority of the games. So I was really impressed by how she played. And, you know, the thing about the WNBA today that you can still do, and we saw it, which was with the matchups, the NBA today leans shooting, 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 and then more shooting. And New York actually closed the game in a rock fight by basically playing three bigs all together, which I thought was kind of interesting. And some of that is, well, we don't really, you know, the other team's not really going to make outside shots. They're not going to, you know, we need to protect the paint and we need to make Nafisa's life a living hell. And they were able to do it. And, you know, I don't think she went to the foul line, which is kind of incredible considering
that's the argument for the Lynx, yeah. And the whole refing situation.
But overall, I mean, the series was great for the league. I think then, you know, I know they opted out of their collective bargaining agreement for after next year. So the players are sort of thinking forward. I think it's going to be tough because you're going to have a lot of really stubborn owners who are like, we've supported this league. Now we finally see some success. And now you're, oh, come on, Siri. What are you doing, Siri? and so that's going to be a struggle. Like, I don't think this is going to be something where the owners are going to be like, you know what? You're right. We're tearing this thing up and, you know, we're giving you the best deal possible. Like the NBA players, I think they get a pretty good deal with all basketball related income. I think it's like a
50-50.
Is it 50-50? I thought the players got a higher percentage.
Oh, I was under the assumption that it was 50-50, but I guess I haven't looked it up myself.
A few times. It's possible. But, you know, the league is growing, and when you do grow, there's going to be growing pain. So that is something to keep an eye on. Not anything we've got to worry about for the next year. But what I wanted to say is related to the Valkyries is, what should people be looking for the next sort of stage with the Valkyries? Well, we talked last time about the expansion draft and what that all entails. I don't think we will start hearing about any room. I mean, we're already hearing about rumored players, but that's just sort of people kind of doing the math on rosters. That will probably start picking up in the next month and a half or so, because that draft.
Well, isn't the expansion draft early? I think it's early December.
Oh, it's early December. So in the next month or so
next couple of weeks,
stories will start picking up. But I think they're private, right? The protections are going to be all private. So you won't know until the draft, at least to the public. I wonder if any of that stuff will get leaked out, because, you know, agents wise, right? Agents could leak that stuff out. So, yeah, we'll have to see about that. But the one thing I wanted to bring up was college basketball. The women's college basketball is going to be something, you know, if you do want to do a little bit of scouting for your Valkyries and their number five pick, that is going to be the best way. I just found out that my friend's daughter, Amaya Spencer, who plays for Florida State, I think they visit Cal and Stanford this year. So I may try and check that out.
I will go with you.
So that'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, like who's on your radar? Like if you go on your Hulu Live and you go, okay, I want to record all the games of this team, I think UConn's probably number one on everybody's list. But who else are you keeping your eye on for possibility of Valkyrie's draft pick?
I think I've said this on this podcast before, but Olivia Miles from Notre Dame. They also have two more prospects on Notre Dame who are draft eligible this year. Maddie West Belled, something like that. And then Sonia Citron. Don't know if I'm saying those names correctly, but Olivia Miles is definitely who I'm keeping an eye on, along with AZ Fudd on UConn.
Is she a senior?
I think she is a senior. She's okay. A senior. Paige is just, super senior.
Yeah, it's because the crazy coronavirus years that they got added to their thing if they wanted.
And Fudd, she has another year of eligibility, which she might take because it's just been injury riddled for her whole college career. So, but hey, if she has a guarantee, if she plays well and she has a guarantee at five, I don't see why she wouldn't come out right now. But, there's a few other, I think there is actually a player, I'm trying to think, but again, I only know, I mainly got most of my knowledge from watching March Madness last year. I was a big fan of NC State because I was watching all of Stanford because I was like, holy crap, this Kiki Arioffen player is amazing. And I was watching Stanford and then I watched them get knocked off by NC State, who had
Cameron Brink foul out of every game.
Yeah. And then Kiki having to lift them above. But the NC State has a tall point guard. She's like 6'1". Her name's Sanaya Rivers, and she's an interesting watch. She's a South Carolina transfer. But I think right now, as the mock stands, it's supposed to be Paige 1, Kiki Arioffen 2, Anissa Morrow from LSU 3, AZ Fudd, Olivia Miles 4-5. AZ Fudd, UConn, Olivia Miles, Notre Dame. But as these early mocks go, things can change so quickly. From an NBA perspective, Brandon Miller, I don't even know if was top 15 before that Victor Wembanyama year started, and he ends up being number 2. So a lot of things can change. A lot of things can happen. I know that there's a player for, I think it's UCLA that's draft eligible. I'm forgetting her name. And again, there's just a lot of stuff that I need to, up my knowledge about. But I'm watching all of as many UConn, USC, Notre Dame games that I can. And then, of course, just keeping an eye on everyone's mock to see who the players that are jumping up and then going to watch them. So that's kind of my strategy. But we have a lot of good, basketball schools in the area. The divisions that Stanford and Berkeley are in, they play NC State twice. So I'm going to go to those games for sure. And then, we get that game at Chase Center where UCLA is coming to town. So yeah, there's going to be definitely some stuff. I think anytime Gonzaga, right? And Gonzaga is going to play the Dons at USF. So yeah.
Yeah, no, it'll be fun to watch, and it'll be fun to keep track of that on this podcast. All right, let's talk about some stuff in the NBA. The Boston Celtics defended their title. Or they started their defense of their title by whipping up the Knicks. If you're a Knicks fan and you had such high hopes and you're like, well, that was a reality check. But, they got Cat left to figure some things out. But that was like Boston going like, yeah, guys, we're still quite a bit ahead of you. And that they're whipping up on Washington today as we speak. Though your guy, JP, had a big first quarter. I actually picked him up on one of my other fantasy teams because I just root for him. Goofy as he may be sometimes, I still like him a lot.
But
the story of opening night was LeBron and Bronny. And I think LeBron comes out in his rotation. So it was either late first quarter, early second quarter. Bronny and LeBron come into the game at the same time. So you get that little cool moment. Now, the argument around the media, and this is a media argument, is this legit? Is this like a legitimate thing? Like Ken
fabricated
Griffey,
moment?
Yeah. Ken Griffey Jr. playing center field and his pops playing right or left or whatever. Ken Griffey Jr., the number one prospect in all of baseball in the early 90s or late 80s. Or is this like a TV moment? Was it, designed to, by LeBron to give Bronny this moment? And, they set it up like that. I lean towards the latter because I don't think Bronny's good enough to be in the NBA right now. But what I really wonder is if they just did it so that people would stop wondering about it. And then now you let the kid go to the G League and just get reps in, and you don't have to worry about it. He got the moment with Pops. The fan base will stop talking about it and let him go be a pro and do it that way. But I don't know. I would hope that is it, because if LeBron wants him to still be on that main roster. He's just going to sit on the bench and play like 2 minute spurts or 3 minute spurts. Cause immediately when they both came in the game, Minnesota went on like a 7-0 run, I think, like immediately. So, you know, there were like all of that that was happening. I'm sure it kind of affected what was going on the court because, you know, they just wanted to make sure that they had that moment. But I just hope that Bronny gets a chance to play basketball, and he should just go to the G League and play 30 minutes a night and learn how to be a pro. And if he achieves, then he can rejoin the big club and do it that way. But I just hope he's not forced into sitting the bench just because his dad is on the same team.
Yeah. I hope he's good. I hope, you know, I think he does have a lot of eyes on him for being the 55th pick in the NBA draft. But I mean, it's to be expected. I know there's conversation that he shouldn't have been drafted. I probably lean towards the conversation that he probably wasn't going to get drafted. There was the conversation that the Warriors were looking at him. It's like, surprise, surprise, the Warriors were only looking at him to hopefully get his dad. So, you know, but I still really want him to be good because that would be such a cool story. And I am hoping he, you know, with
large shadow, right? He's in a giant shadow if he just by playing basketball.
Yeah. At least like no one in the right mind is like, you know, comparing him to his father. Like, I think everyone's quite
uncomparable.
I think everyone like understands that this is not going to be like a, you know, the son is like the better player by any means. So, yeah, I think we're just watching. We'll see.
Yeah. So Davis said, you know, Randall wasted no time going at him. I saw the same thing. It's like they immediately went, okay, who's the little kid? Let me get my matchup and let's go at it. And Bronny is really small. I think they say he's 6'1". Maybe he is 6'1".
I think he tries to say he's 6'2 or 6'3, but he is actually 6'1". Like that's the.
And so, you know, if you get that switch and you got, you know, Randall, who's a madman going at the little kid, that's easy money.
Yeah.
You know, he's too little. So, I would like to see LeBron, the dad, go like, let's do what's best for my son. He doesn't need to be here. Though I'm sure it is a cool experience for both of them. And they do get something out of that, right? Mm-hmm. To be the first father and son duo ever in the history of the NBA to be playing like that. It is really cool. Even if it is a little bit manufactured.
Oh, well.
Okay, so we're going to get out of here. The Warriors play on Friday against the Jazz, and then they play on Sunday. I think the first home game Sunday night.
I actually don't know. I have the schedule right here though. So versus the Clippers on Sunday, that is the first home game.
I think they go head to head with 49ers Cowboys.
Gosh, who wants to watch the Niners right now?
No, I mean Sunday night football. There's gonna be 20 million people watching that game.
Yeah.
All right. So we're a little short today, but appreciate Davis hanging out with us in the chat. And we'll be back talking some Warriors hoops. So for Bri, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Hey, football fans. BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.